You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Hey, late Friday afternoon, final Friday of January. What a month this has been. We started it out in California and we're ending it right here. It's been a busy show. We had Dawn Staley on after that massive win last night against the defending national champions. She said a lot of important things in our interview with her, but probably the thing that will be remembered most was when she body bagged one of our callers, Dwayne, who called in yesterday on the way to the game in Baton Rouge and just talked about how LSU was going to eviscerate, that's not exactly the word he used, the Gamecocks. Dawn had a response earlier today. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Jace in Augusta, Georgia. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
You're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to talk about the dog basketball team for a minute. I think we're actually doing pretty good this year. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I wanted to say something else. I didn't realize this was the day that Bear Bryant died. He was a hell of a coach. And I want to, even as a dog, I mean, I had to respect him. I mean, you know, he was a hell of a coach, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, he was all of that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's check in with Eddie in Pensacola. Hello, Eddie. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, you're doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I'd like to ask a favor. I'd like to make a quick statement about the NIL and transfer portal, and then I'd like to tell a very short Coach Bryant story of my own.
Well, go right ahead. We'd love that.
Paul, I'm seeing some good things. I hear all the negative, but I'm seeing some good things coming from the transfer portal and the NIL, specifically with Coach Saban retiring, because, you know, when a major coach leaves a branded team, especially one like Alabama, it takes years to recover usually. With the NIL and the transfer portal, I don't think the board's going to miss much of a beat on keeping the excellence of the program that we've become accustomed to. We know he's a capable coach. I think that's a benefit for the transition through the coaching changes.
Yeah, I think, first of all, everything is well connected. It's one thing if you take over a program that is in turmoil. This program is at the very top of college football.
Yes, sir, the pinnacle. Can I tell my quick Bryant story?
Absolutely. Please do.
Paul, I was 10 years old. We'd moved to Montgomery, Alabama when my father retired, and found out that football was the world there. You wanted to play football at Alabama. My grandfather played at Alabama and at Auburn and won a championship at both. That's kind of the family joke. But long story short, at 10 years old, I went to Tuscaloosa to a junior football camp. And when I got there, I had only played football one year. I had no clue what I was doing. And through a lot of skint elbows and skint knees, I got Coach Bryant's Most Improved Player of the Camp Award, which was a plaque that said I had earned a right to have a scholarship to play football at the University of Alabama. Years later, I won a state championship at Robert E. Lee in Montgomery with Spence McCracken, and I walked on at Alabama. I wasn't offered a scholarship. But when I got up there, I showed it to him, and it was a big giggle. I got to play one year, and that was the Curry year. Got hurt, wasn't able to play anymore. And my senior year, I did finish school and graduate. My senior year, we won the national championship when we played Miami. with Coach Stallings, but that tradition's been in my family a long time, and we miss Coach Bryant greatly. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very, very much. It's really great to hear from you. Again, I know, Sarah Patterson called up earlier and mentioned the anniversary of Coach Bryant. It's something that always affects people in many, many ways. Russ is calling next. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Yeah, I thought about you today. For those who don't know, this is a Russ Wood who played for Coach Bryant. And I'll let you tell the story, Russ. I've told it too many times.
I know. I have too. And it never gets old, Paul. It's you know, one of those things. We both, 41 years ago, I was drafted by the Birmingham Stallions. It was the first year. And, of course, they had territorial draft. They had all the Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, you know, Southern Miss, Troy, you know, all of us were there. And this beat writer from the Birmingham News just happened to be sitting in the north end zones in those old aluminum bleacher seats. And the only reason I know this is 10 years later, a friend of mine from Montgomery, who I went to Alabama with and everything, called me and said, "Wood, you're in the dang paper." So, you know, because you used to write you wrote that AOL.com article.
Right.
And it was in Birmingham, Montgomery Advertiser, Mobile Register. Anyway, he said, "You're in the paper with this guy, Paul Feinbaum." I said, "What?" And it was where you wrote the article, "Where were you the day Coach Bryant died?" And you explained you were sitting there interviewing Russ Wood, you know, from Elba, Alabama, played for Coach Bryant, Liberty Bowl, and, you know, all that, was here with the Birmingham Stallions. And about that time, the sports, I think Butch Ellard was the head manager. He was our manager too, but I think he was with him, but I don't remember who the sports information director was. But remember, he came running up and said, Paul, Coach Bryant passed. And of course, it was him, you know, a dozen Alabama guys. We were all sitting together. I was just happened to be interviewed by the Birmingham News reporter, Mr. Feinbaum. And we all just kind of looked around. There was no cell phones. It's 1983. I mean, and you said, I'm sorry, I gotta go confirm this. And we said, well, where are you going to do it? And you went under the stadium. I don't know if it was the payphone in the portal in the stadium.
Yeah, the payphone, right, Russ, was right outside the stadium in the parking lot. I vaguely remember that.
Right. Yeah, it was right there close, and we all followed you like, you know, a dog after, you know, treats. And sure enough, you got on the phone and talked, and next thing you know, you said, you know, okay, I got to go cover this. Boom, you took off, and we were all sitting there, you know, distraught. You know, we didn't know what to do. You know, we were all just, you know, it was one of those moments that hit us like a brick house that we wasn't expecting. But it was our moment. 41 years ago.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And I mean, you just think about it. And I know there's so many elements that today, you know, how people found out 2 weeks ago that Coach Saban was retiring. It was a completely different world. But yeah, I mean, I was just glad I don't even remember what a phone call cost back then, but a nickel, a quarter.
Yeah, nickel or a quarter.
Yeah, and the second I called, I mean, the guy said, get down here, because I was, right. Yeah, and those next couple of days for everyone in sports, they're really unlike anything that I've ever encountered. And, you know, you were part of it, Russ, as everybody kind of figured out what to do and where to go.
Well, you know, we were with the Stallions, and they were having a pre-camp. And then they went down to Tampa for their main camp.
Right.
And of
right.
course, you know, they bragged. Remember, they bragged about having all these local players, local players. 2 days later, well, after that day, we didn't, you know, all players, you know, we couldn't really just take off and go to Tuscaloosa, even though the funeral was coming up in a couple of days. We were all trying to figure out how we were going to ask permission to, you know, to go. Raleigh Dodge, I think, was the coach. He'd come from Pittsburgh. And, you know, of course, I think the next day, Jeff Fagan, one of our good running backs, came and knocked on my door the 2 days after that, after Coach Bryant's passing, and we were getting ready to load up to go to Tampa, you know, and he came and knocked on my door and said, "Hey, Russ, we've been cut." I said, "Dude, we just been in shorts." And Raleigh brought in, that was right after the NFL's last cut. He brought in, I think, Strzok. And, I mean, the whole stat. I mean, I think he kept one.
Well,
or two
not that it really matters, Russ, but I mean, it was all a PR stunt to act like they were interested in Alabama and Auburn players.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, aside from that, it's, I mean, it was surreal, though, to hear the news as a reporter. And I mean, I hear you tell that story, I do have some regrets that I didn't at least see how you guys were doing. But it was just a different world. I mean, you couldn't, you couldn't. Nobody had anything.
That was the biggest story. I mean, you know, Billy Graham was supposed to do the service.
Yeah.
You know, we had four churches in Tuscaloosa, and the main church, I was sitting there with the seniors. We were, you know, the 83 team. We were, you know, 82 team, really. We were sitting there on the front row. You know, I look over there, and there's Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler, and, I mean, all these John McKay.
You know, Russ, the night before, the funeral was just so sad. The night before, my boss came down and we went out. I think it was The Landing. Remember that place in Tuscaloosa?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Bill Lumpkin was his name. I mean, he knew everybody. I was as you were young. I was barely older than you. We had a booth there, and I mean, I saw every coach: Namath walk in, Richard Todd, Eddie Robinson, Woody Hayes. It was truly, and again, you have to remember you were there for a funeral. You weren't there, as a celebration, even though it was a celebration, but I mean, there was every coach in America was there. It was unlike anything we'd ever seen.
Right. You know, the church was the main church. I think it was the First Methodist Church, Tuscaloosa. They had four churches that were packed,
right,
that were doing the service. And, I mean, we
by the
were
way, it was also a pretty cold like day. I mean, it was January 28th, and I remember that the local TV stations had live coverage because I couldn't get in. I mean, I did do this, and you've heard me say this before, to show you how different the reporting was back then. My job was to cover the service in Tuscaloosa. I spent 3 days in Tuscaloosa. I went down there Wednesday night, and there was a service on, and we went to the funeral home, and then I think Stedman Shealy did a eulogy at the Coliseum. But my boss told me, hey, since I was the young whippersnapper, you down there we want you to do one big story on, you go down to the service and then come back and cover the burial at Elmwood Cemetery, 58 miles away. There was no way really to do it, and I'm admitting this now because it doesn't really matter, but I literally broke into the procession because that was the only way to get back in time with a police escort. So I snuck in at the end, and the Elmwood part of it was also surreal. I mean, there were about 10 helicopters overhead, if you remember.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had there was three buses with players, coaches, you know, their families. And then the Coach Bryant in his hearse was ahead of us. And I mean, they had lined up. I heard it at the, you know, the cemetery had to shut down and close because people were waiting the night before trying to get in, you know. And
there have been estimates of close to 750,000 people from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham on the interstate, and you saw it. I mean, everywhere, at every exit ramp, there were thousands of people.
People, right? Yeah, the crossovers, the crossover bridges were just full of people with signs, and but the most surreal, I think, was when we came out of the church and got on the bus, and we went down what is now Bryant Drive. You know, the drive that was. We went by the stadium, and the people were 10, 12, 20 deep all the way till we hit the interstate, you know, all the way down, you know, what is called Bryant Drive now. But we went down that main drag, and, I mean, it was crazy to see how many people were standing there in tears, you know, like we all were.
Well, Russ, I actually had a friend of mine today in Birmingham say, "You think you'll hear from Russ today?" I said, "I'll guarantee it."
It went off in my phone. I've got it set in call Paul And I tried to call earlier this week just to let you know I was going to try and call around four, but I couldn't get through. But I figured I'd just do the old.
Well, let's keep doing this, Russ. I hope we can hang on a few more years.
Yeah, you know, we joked about going and doing the show from Legion Field. I guess Legion Field's still there.
It is. I saw it about 3 weeks ago. It's still there.
Did they have our? Where me and you were sitting. Do they have the golden seat?
They should,
there,
you know, but I am here to tell you, Russ, that phone booth is long gone. Hey, thanks, Russ. Always good to hear from you on this day. We must go to a break. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here late on a Friday afternoon, a busy show. We had Dawn Staley on earlier, and she was very Dawn Staley-esque. Let's get back to the calls, and Zach is next in Louisiana. Hello, Zach.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
I just want to say, first of all, I want to start by saying that John from St. Louis is a national treasure.
He is.
And AJ should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in AJ picking on the poor guy.
I think AJ calling anybody a dumbass is about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, and also, I mean, if you're the biggest one of all time, don't you feel like others are infringing on your DA credibility?
I guess he did feel kind of threatened, but I just want to say. To say that he's going to threaten to slap an old man, I don't think he has the balls to slap a mosquito. Okay? And he's a jackass, Paul.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, if he wants to pick on somebody your own age. I mean, come on. But shout out to John from St. Louis. I think he's, one of the best callers and, I'll just leave it at that, Paul.
Well, there's nothing more to say. You've said it well. Thank you very, very much for the call. Cliff is up next. Hey, Cliff. Welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, look, you and I were on opposite sides of the sideline back on that November night down in Jackson, Mississippi, when Mississippi State prevailed against Alabama, which is rare, I know, but you remember Coach Bryant came to the locker room at Mississippi State, guys, and you know, I know there's been great coaches, Coach Saban, right on down the line, but that was the classiest, I think that was the classiest act I think I've ever heard from a coach in football. I mean, he came, and Larry Templeton put it best when he said, when Coach Bryant walked in that locker room, you could have heard a pin drop, and I guarantee you. Did you go into the locker room?
I was in the Alabama locker room after the game, and I'm trying to remember if I got over to the state locker room or not. I do not remember.
Yeah,
I may have been outside the locker room when Coach Ballard came out.
Yeah, I mean it was fabulous. But anyway, I got a couple other things I want to get to you. I hadn't talked to you in a while, but Alabama made the right hire when Coach D got hired. I call him Coach D. I don't do the names. It'd be better if his last name was Auerbach, then they'd call him Coach A, you know, but still Coach D, he's the right hire. I think the guy's humble, and I really don't think, you know, you can lose having having somebody in the corner like Coach Saban to hit on for you know, for background stuff. But I got a quick story I want to tell you, and I-Man's going to love this. The elephant was walking in the jungle, and the tiger came up and slapped him on his trunk and said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant wrapped his trunk around him and slam dunked him about five times. And when he came to, he looked up the elephant and said, "Man, you didn't have to get mad just because you don't know the answer."
So, that's great. That is funny.
Yeah. Hey, there's one that guy you had on from that covers the ACC. Dave, what's his
Dave
name?
Dave Hale.
Yeah, he's got the right idea. Down in Mississippi, if you're having a shotgun wedding or a divorce, a double barrel is always better than a single barrel. And if Florida State could hold hands with Clemson and go up to a commissioner and say, you know, we'd love to join the SEC, that'd be a tempting treat right there. So Florida State needs to quit worrying about getting out of the ACC and go get with Clemson, and then both of them bail out. So anyhow, hey, good to talk to you.
Hey, thank you very much, Cliff. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's continue with more. Actually, I tell you what we need to do. We need to stop here. I didn't realize what time it was. We have a guest waiting, and we can't wait to get to Oklahoma. We'll be right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
One thing that's really been exciting since the news a couple of years ago that Oklahoma and Texas were heading to the SEC is getting to meet some of the media folks from both, and I've had that opportunity with our next guest. As we say hello to Eric, hold on a second. Let me make sure where I am. Eric Bailey, Eric from the Tulsa World. Eric, really good to see you. I want to make sure you were there, and you are, and good to see you again. I feel like I don't know you that well, but I remember talking to you at Media Days, and I'm really glad that you could make time to come on our show.
Paul, thanks so much. Yeah, the experience in Nashville was something else going to the SEC Media Days. Really enjoyed it. Had an opportunity to talk to you, so I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. So, I know it's not official, but that happens on July 1st because Oklahoma has a lot of things going on from basketball, softball, gymnastics. They're pretty good in pretty much everything, but football is here. There's nothing more to be played. What's the state of the Sooners in football as they start making that turn?
I think everyone's excited. As soon as the Alamo Bowl finished this year down in San Antonio, everything went fast forward. Everything is SEC pointed right now. And I think everyone from the coaches to the fans and even the media are looking forward to Oklahoma's next jump. I'm excited. I'm excited to meet a lot of new people. I'm excited to go to a lot of different places. So I can only imagine what those players are like and those fans are like.
Well, I mean, a year ago, this conversation would have been different. Things looked pretty bleak in Brent Venable's first year. Everything changed this year, especially when you beat Texas in Dallas. I know there were some bumps along the way because Oklahoma really had a pretty good season going until very close to the end. How would you characterize the 23 campaign?
Well, I remember talking to you in Nashville, and we were talking about the Sooners coming off a 6-7 season. And you said it was an important year for Brent Venables, an important year for the program, because they needed to gather some kind of momentum going into the 2024 campaign in the SEC. They were able to do that with a 10-win season. Brent Venables was able to really turn the ship the right direction because they really needed that momentum because life gets a lot tougher next season. I think we all know that. So this was a good year, a good turning point. 6-7 in 2022 was so unusual to Oklahoma fans. They hadn't had a losing season since 1998. So this was different for them. And you just wondered what this year was going to be like. And to win 10 games, that was big for the Sooners moving forward.
Listen, I don't claim to be an expert on Oklahoma. I've been to one game in Norman and one game in Stillwater, and I can tell you I enjoyed the experience in Norman a lot more. But the point being, what is the vibe among the Sooners fans and the people that you converge with every day in covering this beat about Venables? Did he get over the hump with that Texas win, 10 wins? There's not a lot of fault to be found there.
No, there's not. And, you know, the regular season losses were close losses, too. I know that there's always Monday morning quarterbacking. They could have done this. They could have did that. But it was just, again, it was so important just to get that momentum going into the SEC. And this is a really smart fan base. They understand college football. They understand what's awaiting for them. You know, there's no gimmies on that SEC schedule. And I think these fans understand that. There's nothing easy about that. So I think that they understood while they needed success in 2023, there's a bigger challenge in 2024 on the football field, going to foreign stadiums, welcoming new teams like Alabama and Tennessee to Norman. That's going to be pretty incredible as well. So I think this is a smart fan base that understands the challenge in front of it.
Let me ask you about a couple of those. And of course, the road games, I know fans are trying to learn. Oklahoma fans have been to a number of places. I remember a couple of years ago going to Tennessee, but the road games are at Auburn, at Ole Miss. Those are, hey, by the way, those are in Missouri and LSU. You guys have done fairly well. I know LSU is an experience. Ole Miss is a bucket list for everyone. And Missouri is an old comrade, but Auburn is also unique. So I know fans. What are fans buzzing about? Starting with the road games, I'll get to the home games in a minute.
It's just seeing the new stadiums going there. And I'm really curious what the fan base is going to be like attacking these road games. How many are going to try to go on the road? How many are going to get tickets? You know, personally, selfishly, I'm looking forward to going to Ole Miss. I'm looking forward to LSU. I would love a night game at LSU. I don't know if Brent Venables would, but I would love to experience a night game down at LSU. And Paul, if you look at this schedule, you look at these 8 SEC schools that Oklahoma is playing this year, 7 of them went to bowl games. Only Vanderbilt in the SEC has 7 bowl teams on their schedule next year in league play, Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. So nothing easy, of course, every week, but you compound that by going on the road and playing at these tough venues. It's going to mean that Oklahoma's going to be at their best when they hit the road.
I remember a couple of years ago how excited Oklahoma fans were, Eric, when about 7 or 8 years ago, when you guys went to Tennessee, I think it was a night game. It was a big deal. I remember being on our morning show on that Saturday, just completely writing Bob Stoops off. And of course, we all know what happened that night in Knoxville. But it really was an amazing game. The question is not about Tennessee so much, but about Josh Heupel, who, as we all know, has a fairly complicated relationship with the school that he led to a national championship.
Yeah, and you mentioned that game, Baker Mayfield, that was his coming out party when they went to Tennessee and won that football game. But going to Josh Heupel, he's a legend at Oklahoma. You remember what he did in 99 and 2000. He really carried him. He bridged that 99 year from John Blake and losing seasons to a successful 99 season. And then in 2000, of course, was led the Sooners to their last national championship. Josh Heupel is still really, really love by this fan base. And I'm really curious, the very first SEC game that Oklahoma plays in Norman will be against Josh Heupel. And you're right, it is, we say complicated. It really is a complicated relationship because of the way that he was let go after the end of the 2014 season. But we had a chance to talk to him at SEC Media Days over the summer. And you can tell Oklahoma, he still thinks of Oklahoma when he goes back and looks at his college career.
So you have Alabama coming in as well. And yeah, what a great time to face Alabama without Nick Saban. Talk to me in the audience about just watching the Alabama story from a distance for the last couple of weeks.
It's been crazy, Paul. And I remember when Coach Saban, the announcement came out, it took me back to Bob Stoops' announcement in the summer of 2017 when he was leaving. It was just a shock. And I felt for the Alabama beat writers because that meant that it was going to be a busy time for them. But yeah, I really feel like I would have loved to see Coach Saban in Norman. That would have been so exciting to see. But this Alabama team, it's Alabama. I think Oklahoma understands that. And two blue bloods in November playing a football game, it's going to be exciting no matter what. Throughout the records, throughout the history, it's just going to be a neat Saturday in Norman. But yeah, it was a shock when Coach Saban left the Crimson Tide.
And you mentioned the transition. Of course, Lincoln Riley ended up taking Bob Stoops. And I remember talking to some friends out in Oklahoma way, and that was, talk about complicated. That's a complicated relationship. Now that Lincoln Riley just absolutely crashed and burned last season, is the animus still there, or are Oklahoma fans moving on?
I think it's still there. And you know what? I just think it's because of the way the divorce was handled. It was such a shock to Oklahoma fans. They've never had a coach just up and leave and go to a different program. It's never been that coach's choice. So when Lincoln Riley did that, there's going to be some stings. There's still some bruises to that. And I think that that's something, you know, you look at Oklahoma fans, they're still keeping an eye toward the West Coast. How did USC do? We hear that a lot. So Lincoln Riley was important to this program because in 2017 or 2015, let's even go back to that, his offense really, really created Heisman Trophy candidates and Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback. So I think that Lincoln Riley did do a lot for Oklahoma, but the way he left, it still stings this Sooner fan base.
Yeah, and it took a few players, as we all know. I can't wait. We have a lot to announce as we get closer, but I can assure you, from this point where the SEC network is, Erica, we are well aware of Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and we have had countless conversations to make everybody out there feel welcome, and we appreciate you making time for us today.
Paul, thank you so much for having me on, and everyone out there, have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Really good to see you, Eric. Eric Bailey joining us from the Tulsa World as we start our turn toward Austin and Norman. You'll see us out there. You can bank on that. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back, busy afternoon, and let's continue. AJ, not that one, from Ohio.
How are we doing today, Paul?
Hey there, AJ. Great to hear from you.
Hi, I was just calling to see why you've been slandering Notre Dame online, considering I feel like our future is brighter than it's ever been.
Yeah, I'm not trying to play stupid here, but what have I said about Notre Dame?
You were just saying we've been kind of dependent on the transfer portal after we got Riley Leonard, and we haven't been able to get a quarterback.
Really?
And we've recently just got a 5-star in CJ Cole.
Hey, listen, I am AJ. I don't know where you read that. I don't even remember talking about Notre Dame recently.
It was right after we got Riley Leonard.
Oh, okay. Well, I probably did say that then, but I like Marcus Freeman. I think he's a very good 9-3 coach.
Well, you see, this is his first year that he's actually really gotten his players. It's his third year under his belt.
Yeah, I'm more of that.
Smart, if we're talking about the SEC, his first 2 years weren't too good at Georgia.
And that was Brian Kelly's fault, I suppose.
No, I'm not saying it's Brian Kelly's fault.
Yeah, was Marcus there before he got the head coaching job?
He was there. He was the defensive coordinator.
Right.
Kirby Smart was also on Nick Saban's staff.
Yeah, I mean, AJ, I like Marcus Freeman, but I've yet to see much from him that would tell me that he's an elite coach. He's a good coach. Nothing wrong with 9-3, but I'm not convinced he's elite. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand, but he already has more top 10 wins at Notre Dame than Brian Kelly had in his whole time.
Okay.
And all of his recruiting classes that he's had has been better than every single one of Brian Kelly's except one.
Yeah. And Brian like Kelly made it to the playoffs how many times? He made it to play for the national championship in 12, and seems like he made the playoffs a couple of times, if I remember.
He did, but, I mean, we could never win the big game, and I feel like Freeman has been putting us in a better position.
Well, I don't know. I remember, again, I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but I remember beating Clemson one night. They were number one in the country.
Yeah, but Trevor Lawrence didn't play.
Oh, okay.
Trevor Lawrence played, and we got waxed.
Yeah, okay. And how many big wins have Marcus had?
He also beat Clemson. He beat USC.
Did he beat Clemson this year?
He did not.
Okay.
They had a better team the year before.
Okay.
I'm just saying we've been more competitive in games, and I feel like you have to agree with that.
AJ, listen, we'll just have to table this conversation, but if you're asking me who would I rather have as my coach, Marcus Freeman or Brian Kelly, I will take Brian Kelly 100 out of 100 times.
Well, what's your opinion on the future of Notre Dame going forward?
I think it's really good. I think the playoff is certainly within reach. And that's really the goal now. I said 9-3. I mean, they can be 10-2. I don't see Notre Dame on the same level as Georgia, Ohio State. And I do compliment Notre Dame. They should have beaten Ohio State this year, but they did not because there was some really bad coaching on the sidelines, as you well know. And I don't even think they're on the same level as LSU anymore. But listen, we'll just have to disagree. But don't tell me you need 3 or 4 years. He was on the staff. Let's check in with the Squirrel. Hello, Squirrel.
Thank you for taking my call. And some great stories today. And I always enjoy when Russ calls in and recounts, you know, his story. And I'm not going to, you know, bore people with retelling my Bear Bryant story, but shaking his hand will be something I'll always remember, you know, the rest of my life. It's definitely one of my highlights of my life.
Now, would you rank that ahead of shaking Lane Kiffin's hand?
By far. Man, I jumped the fence at Neyland Stadium to shake Bear Bryant's hand. I wouldn't have crossed the dirt road to shake Lane Kiffin. I just turned around and there he was. So, you know, stuck it out there. But and thanks to you for that. But what I was going to ask you today is, do you believe that the full moon affects people?
I think it's a proven fact that it affects wolves.
Well, it's funny you say that. Yesterday was a full moon, and it happened to be the wolf moon.
Was it really? Because we haven't seen the sun here in about 2 weeks, so I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I wondered, you know, if you recall yesterday, you know, after my call, which I thought was a pretty chill call, your leg humper called in, and then the show just went off the rails. I mean, everybody who called in was attacking somebody different, and I just wondered why people were acting so crazy. And then I realized last night it was the full moon, so I think that
I'm glad you told me it was, because I'm a big full moon man. I always like to see it. It's cool.
Well, I study of myself too, you know, but like you said, it's been raining.
But you did something last night that I didn't think was possible. You brought, you did bring him out of hibernation.
I was kind of shocked at Dominic's attack because, you know, I didn't say anything, you know, negative about Dominic. I actually enjoyed his recital. I was just thinking,
I mean, what you said was the truth.
Well, you know, the truth. Well, I'll let you be the judge of that.
Well, but no, again, I mean, hey, Squirrel, there's a lot of things I know nothing about, and maybe act like I do. But
well, there's nothing wrong with writing.
When you
your
sit
text,
here every day, you become somewhat of an expert on callers, and you know when somebody is reading something.
Right. Well, I've been reading the whole time we've been talking. Actually, I write my take in the stuff I wrote down. Just three things I wrote down: Dominic, number one leg humper, and creature from the Black Lagoon. And then,
by the way, I don't mind. I prefer. I mean, Dominic, if he wants to spend study hall preparing his Feinbaum call, I'm all for that.
Well, I'm not getting into it with anybody that hadn't reached puberty yet. Let's put it that way. So I'm staying out of this fight. But it's funny how you can throw a rock at a pack of dogs, and it's funny how which one howls out. You know what I mean? Which one starts howling. And all I did was say the word shout-outs and just talk about how kind of I enjoy shout-outs. And then that lady from Georgia called in squawking.
Oh, Miss Pat. Miss Pat does not. I think Miss Pat likes you even less than Jim.
Man, I blocked her a few weeks ago so she could read my tweets. See, she's mad at me because I don't want to be one of her Twitter boyfriends. She's got four or five guys that they have to tuck each other in at night and all that kind of thing, and I'm just not into that. And so she's just bitter, and you could hear the bitterness in her voice.
Oh, yeah,
if you listen, if you listen carefully.
I mean, I don't want to upset Miss Pat because I don't need the aggravation, but
I wish your neighbor would call in. I would love to hear from Miss Pat's stories.
She doesn't wear being mad well.
She doesn't hide her emotions. That's for true. But anyway, I'm glad.
I mean, some people are likable when they're mad. They're funny. Some people are.
Oh, yeah, angry. Hilarious, like Jim. And when Jim calls in and says everything I told you about that he said was a lie, I don't recall telling you anything. You know, I thought I kept minding his conversation.
We're about to get into the trial season on this show. We'll adjudicate
that shortly.
You.
Aloha.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.